Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm Jon Favreau.
I'm Jon Lovett.
Tommy Vitor. Your tone switches get me every time.
Hope you've all had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lovett, what color are those pants?
Again, this is an audio format.
Yes, that's why I
would say they're
description.
It's called pink.
No, we'll look it up. It's more of a lilac.
Okay, it might be lilac.
On today's show, we'll dig into the mailbag to answer some of your questions, and then our chief take officer, Elijah Cohn, is here for another round. Virtually, yeah, he's not in the office because he's in North Carolina. For another round of Take Appreciator. But before we begin, we got a merch announcement here.
What is it?
Our Memorial Day weekend sale is almost over. Thursday, June 2nd, also my birthday, is your last day to get 15% off.
Big 5-0.
What? Fuck you. You're older than me.
You're older than him. And you're both older than me.
15% off site-wide and up to 80% off new sale items. It's our biggest sale ever. So if you have your eye on something, now's the time to nab it before it's gone for good. This is the part where the hosts have to name their favorite merch store item. For me, it's anything Dan-related.
Yes.
Yes, Dan.
A listener named Charlie was asking when we're going to sell trucks.
Trucks. He wants some garbage trucks. We could do some garbage trucks.
Some take trucks. Garbage take trucks.
Crooked.com/store. Again, 15% off site-wide, up to 80% off new sale items. Pretty good. All right, let's get to your questions. First one is from AP on Twitter. Please talk about Biden's potential upcoming decision on student loan debt and the pressure that could be placed on him or members of his administration in order to get a result that actually helps people financially. Just for context on AP's question, Friday morning's Washington Post reported that White House officials are currently planning to cancel $10,000 in student debt per borrower and limiting debt forgiveness to individuals who earned less than $150,000 last year or couples that earned less than $300,000. This is according to three sources. The timing on the announcement is apparently imminent. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly when. Tommy, what do you think?
What was Dan's line? It was in the Saturday in the third biggest media market in Delaware.
Yeah, because there was some thought that he would announce it at his commencement address over Memorial Day weekend, but that didn't happen.
It leaked earlier. Listen, I mean, 10,000 is what we expected, right? Because that's what Joe Biden campaigned on. Seems like Biden has clearly signaled that he has some reservations about going higher. I understand the desire to target it to a certain income threshold. I worry about how that will be executed. I don't know that we know more about how that will work, the under 50,000.
You mean the under 150,000?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like income thresholds can be a bit of a blunt instrument where, I don't know, it doesn't necessarily talk about your ability to pay or not pay back your debt. But look, $10,000 is great. I'm glad. I hope he does it. I hope he does it soon.
I'm much happier with the income threshold than the, like, I think he could have gone up to 50. But like you said, Tommy, he campaigned on 10. That was his promise. And he was elected on 10, so that's what we got is 10. But on the 150,000, 97% of all federal student debt is held by people earning below the threshold of $150,000. In fact, the poorest 20% of Americans hold just 8% of the debt. So, like, look, this is tax dollars. I don't think, with all the need out there in the country on a whole bunch of different issues, I don't think that people making over $150,000, if they want to make that the threshold, that's totally okay with me. I think that's very fair. especially since 97% of debt is held by people who make underneath that.
Look, it's the official position of my burgeoning desire to challenge Dianne Feinstein for re-election, assuming she's run, because she has technically filed for re-election. So when I do challenge Dianne Feinstein.
Mm-hmm. She's opposed?
What?
She's opposed to this plan?
No, but I'm expressing my distinct position, which is we should forgive all student debt except for student debt held by MBA and law students.
Oh, got it. Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, people talk about postgraduate, and I'm like, but I think we do want more doctors. We do want to encourage the doctor, the medical school.
Listen, if your MBA was useful to you, that's fine. I don't respect the degree.
Wow. Okay.
You heard me.
People also know the average amount of debt is $28,000 held by an individual, and the majority owe less than $20,000. So it would help a lot of people. Wouldn't help everyone under $150,000 who have a lot of debt, but it would help a lot of people. So I think it's good. Hope he announces it soon.
Also, you know, Data for Progress just released some polling on the best and worst messages for cancellation of student debt, and the best message was helping low-income borrowers.
Yeah. Right.
Obviously.
The best, and that was a means-tested message that was about making sure that it was for people under $200,000,
right.
I believe, in the Data for Progress.
$200,000,
All right. Next question is from Sarah. What's your take on David Gergen's pleas for the World War II and baby boomer leaders in Congress to retire? Just for context on this one, well, the first piece of context is Tommy really wanted to answer this question. The second piece of context is
what I do.
David Gergen, for those who don't know, because maybe some people don't know, was a White House advisor to four presidents before retiring to a CNN panel where I think he lives now.
Yeah.
On the CNN panel.
Yeah, he's got a cot on the set.
It's technically a tiny house.
It's what Rick Caruso's talking about.
Yeah, one of Rick Caruso's tiny houses.
Yeah, that's where David Gergen lives, right under. And then Wolf Blitzer wakes him up every morning.
Makes him pancakes.
Yeah, he just kind of shakes him. He's under the desk. And he says, all right, sit in your chair.
It's like, uh-oh, Gloria Borger's playing her music again.
Jazz.
Can't stand living in a tiny house next to Gloria Borger.
So... He recently, I guess we should get to the question.
Yep,
he recently wrote a book about the baby boomers and made the following comment during his book tour saying, quote, I just turned 80 and I can tell you, you lose a step. You're not as sharp. Tommy, what's your take on this, that Gergen wants the boomer leaders in Congress to retire?
I mean, you know, it's a bit of a broad brush. Listen, I love it for some reason, took a wild swerve at Dianne Feinstein earlier, but there have been multiple articles written over the years suggesting that she should step down. And I think that's a good take. I don't think anyone's saying, hey, Bernie Sanders is really slowing down, right? Like, he's a progressive. He's great. I do think that Congress is very stagnant, especially at the leadership level, and it would be good to have more younger members. They just communicate differently and better and, you know, understand technology. And so, yeah.
in that they use technology.
No, I don't want to be yelled at by boomers. I'm not in the Lovett camp here. I'm just saying, like, AOC comes to Washington and uses Instagram Live and people act like it's landing a, you know, spaceship on the moon.
I'm going to make a couple quick points. Point number one, hey, David Gergen, don't put yourself down. All right. You are fucking sharp as a tack. You are crushing it every goddamn day. And you know what? There are a lot of 30-year-olds.
Not running against David Gergen.
There are a lot of 30-year-olds that would kill to have the lithe mind of a David Gergen just crushing it on those panels every day.
CNN Plus show with him that got
ceremoniously
canceled.
You and David Gergen doing a Stanley Tucci and somewhere
eating their way through the Beltway.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we're doing.
What was point two?
Yeah. David Gergen and I. Yeah, and will they or won't they? We do.
Eat, pray, love.
Several times. That's how crazy this. It's really wild. Ayahuasca happens. This is a show where I do ayahuasca with David Gergen.
Did you do some before this pod?
I'm a little loose today. Listen.
Those are the poppers.
Wait, but I have another point. Oh. Here's the point I wanted to make.
Okay.
There's
we got there.
It's not that any specific person needs to retire. Actually, I know that I have made bones with the boomers, but it's not about any one person being too old for the job. Although there are plenty of people that are too old for the job in their jobs. It's that the fact of living in a gerontocracy is a symptom of a larger problem, which is a system that does not elevate new people and that does not create the space for new people to run. Part of the reason we're stuck with all these old people is we're in this sort of fractured media environment where just building a name has become nearly impossible. It's part of the reason Joe Biden is president right now. And I think we pay a price every single day for not having leaders who are able to kind of speak in a language that is more familiar to people under 50, under 40, under 30. And every time you see someone just a little bit younger, like Brian Schatz or Chris Murphy, kind of take to the floor, or AOC take to the floor and just sort of speak in a way that's sort of clear and right. transparent and not like kind of mired in the language of Washington, you know the price you pay when all the leaders of all the committees are septuagenarians or octogenarians. That's all.
Yeah, I think it's just as Congress needs to do a lot better in terms of diversity by race, gender, sexual orientation, age too. They just need to do better to have a more diverse.
But it's not a panacea, as Madison Cawthorn showed us.
Yeah, of course. That's very good. Well, fun follow-up question from Laura. Tell us your fantasy league of House and Senate Democratic leadership.
This one, I don't know.
I got some.
What do you got, please?
All right, in the House, there's just some names that I would like to see in leadership. That's all this is. Jayapal.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
Right? Ro Khanna.
We love Ro Khanna.
Katie Porter.
Please.
For sure.
Simon Joe Neguse.
Everyone loves that guy.
He's great.
All the
Those are just four I could think of in the House. Four Neguse House
was
Dems.
On mine.
Josh Gottheimer.
Josh Gottheimer. I almost wrote that down as a joke.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You got it. All right.
No Cawthorn. Gottheimer.
In the Senate. You guys must have senators.
I mean, this is where the generational argument it becomes quite clear. Like, Brian Schatz goes to the floor and speaks like a human being, communicates on Twitter like a human being. You feel like you know him, and he's just really good at the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where this cuts against the age thing. Elizabeth Warren. I mean, she's in leadership now, but yes. Elizabeth Warren would be great in leadership. Cory Booker, Chris Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Both great.
You know I love Cory Booker.
Raphael Warnock. I know he hasn't been there that long, but he'd be great in leadership as well.
Yeah, I've been a Murphy stan for a while because he likes to geek out on World O stuff.
Yeah. Okay, a few questions on guns in the wake of the school shooting in Uvalde. Leah and several of you asked, can Biden do anything by executive action on gun control that he hasn't already done? He did do something on ghost guns. That's what they've been doing.
He just did the ghost guns. I mean, I tried to look into this a bit. Biden himself said there's not much on executive action that he can do or that's left to do. Some advocates say you should have DOJ unilaterally close the gun show loophole by basically deciding that gun shows and online marketplaces have to get licenses like other dealers. That seems like a good idea.
Yeah, I guess they think that the Giffords organization has been pushing this as well. And Kamala Harris, Joe Biden's vice president, had this proposal when she was running, which is you redefine what engaged in the business of selling firearms means from a federal, like via executive action. And then you can do what you were just talking about, Tommy, which is expand background checks.
Some people want a gun czar, gun coordinator. Yep. That's one that will get demagogued by right-wing idiots, but it might be worth it.
Another thing that Kamala Harris proposed as an executive action when she was running is the banning of assault weapon imports from overseas, which, you know, would make some kind of difference, even though a lot of the assault weapons are manufactured right here in the United States, unfortunately. But you might as well stop imports from overseas. That seems like common sense. And then she also advocated taking executive action to keep domestic abusers from getting guns. March for Our Lives has said that Biden could do more on stopping firearm trafficking as well through executive action.
Yeah, and some people just want him to, or the administration, just to release more data on gun sales so you can trace it better, or get the ATF nominee confirmed, or better enforced red flag laws. Those are some of the other things.
But sadly and tragically, you need Congress to do anything that would truly, truly make a difference.
Yeah. And Mitch McConnell's the most cynical human being on the planet.
Yeah. We got some questions about voting in campaigns. Jennifer asks, I would love to know your thoughts on phone banks. Every organization wants people for these, and it would be helpful to know, as someone who rarely talks to an unknown number, why is this the push and is it smart?
I feel like we're all quiet because, like, we have all done phone banking, and we know that, like, I don't know, whenever I've done phone banking, sometimes you'll make a dozen, two dozen, three dozen calls before you get somebody who picks up. But then once in a while, you'll have a really, really great conversation. My instinct is to say it remains a really important and really valuable tool, but I do worry that it is becoming less and less valuable over time.
That's right. I think the hit rate is getting lower and lower.
And I felt that even I felt that difference between 2016, 2018, and 2020.
I felt the same thing.
I'm making calls in 2020. Part of it may be just the nature of the pandemic, but like I found that I would sit there and I was really like dialing and dialing and dialing. That said, like, it is still a tool that we have. And as much as it feels sometimes like you're kind of beating your head against the wall, I vividly remember Even in 2020, like, I had like a few conversations, like one or two every time I phone banked, that was actually just, first of all, you got somebody to talk about making sure their ballot got in, that you felt like you were doing something, but also the conversations themselves were helpful. Like, just it's useful, I think, and something short of inspiring, but a nice feeling to kind of talk to somebody about voting who's maybe not paying attention that much.
Yeah. It's also a question of, like, if people aren't picking up the phones, are they more likely to answer their doors? Like, it's just at some point, you got to figure out a way to reach people.
Yeah. It's sort of a question of, like, are we talking about phone banking or nothing, or phone banking or something else?
Right.
If it were up to me, I would rather knock on doors than phone bank. I also never, ever answer my phone. Hey, all you politicians, I don't care how many times you call. I'm not ever going to take your fucking call. I'd rather give you money than take your call.
And you know my response is to your text? My response is stop.
Yeah, stop.
Well, I was going to say, I think text banking is probably more effective, but only if it's not a form text. Yeah. We got to figure out a way, because I know it's easier to send a bunch of the form text, but we got to figure out a way to actually sit volunteers in a room and just like actually text, hey, I'm from whatever.
You think this text wasn't from Steve Kerr?
The ones that put their picture.
But the key distinction here is the answer is not that phone banking isn't useful. Mm-hmm. It is useful, especially if you're saying, should I phone bank or do nothing? You should absolutely phone bank, especially when you're doing GOTV and just trying to turn people out and remind them that the election's coming up.
Yeah. And Kaylin served us up a big, big old softball. Midterms, where to put our energy now? Well, Kaylin, have you heard about VoteSaveAmerica.com?
Have you heard about it?
We have a fantastic midterm program. We are signing up people by region. Midterm Madness. You can take one of four regions around the country. We've all taken a region, and we'll set you up with volunteer opportunities in some of the most competitive Senate and House and down ballot races in the country.
Right. You can choose between signing up for the Midwest or being a loser.
And
or,
I know.
Or the West, where I think we have the most signups right now.
Yeah.
Just saying, I think we have the most signups in the West right now.
Biggest audience. Biggest audience. Also, I'll just say this.
No one in New York listens to us?
We have a lot of people in New York, slightly less, which is why we're doing our. But listen, we're obviously the East Coast. We're punching above our weight, as we always do. But here's the thing. I know how many people listen to Pod Save America, and I know how many people have signed up for Midterm Madness. It is too big of a difference. Like, we're talking to you. You sign up. Like, do it. Just do it now.
Bruce.
Take 2 seconds.
Bruce.
Pick a region, Bruce, and sign up right now.
All the Bruces out there,
Ellen.
Sign up.
Signing up.
You're a Bruce listening to this episode.
Ellen, you have some free time.
It's not a contract, you know? It just puts you in the game, you know? You'll get the information you need. Maybe you'll help. Maybe you don't care about this country. I don't know. I don't know you. But I'm just saying, sign up, and then you have a chance. Just pick a region.
Pick a region.
Sick of this.
All right, we got some fun questions.
Great.
Michael asks, I'm heading to Boston for a work trip in July, and this is my first time visiting. Anything you guys recommend I should see or do while I'm there?
Yeah, I recommend trying New York. it's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Son of a bitch.
Asshole.
One of my favorite things to do in Boston is to go to New York.
The worst person in the world.
Go to a Red Sox game.
Go to a Red Sox game.
Go to even if you don't go to the game, hang out around Fenway.
Assault a Yankees fan.
Assault a Yankees fan right around Fenway.
The New England Aquarium.
Whoa.
Rules. I love
you're
the aquarium.
A big, yeah, you're a big fish guy.
Isabella Gadna Museum. We've discussed that before.
One thing people love in Boston.
The Mugar Omni Theater at the Museum of Science. How about
Bostonians love Dunkin' Donuts, and what's great about Dunkin' Donuts is it's also available in New York City.
Oh my God. Go whale watching on the Cape.
Tastes different in Boston.
Can you do that in New York City?
Well, now we're leaving Boston. We're going to the Cape.
Now we're on the Cape. Listen, I love the Cape.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump. It's a
big hop. That's a big hop. You can go on the duck boats.
I love
them. How great are the duck boats?
Yeah, most people live those. Those haven't turned over in a while, right?
Most people what?
I mean, don't those things turn over? Don't they kill people?
Did you say most people live those? What? You didn't even have a right
to survive?
Do you know how to speak?
I wanted to do a best of, and you insisted on a recording.
Lovett was going to give you a bunch of recycled C blocks.
I said, I said I was burnt
just,
out. Yes. You're like, no.
Just C blocks you've already heard. Just attached to news cycles that happened long ago. No.
The best Christmas movies list would have really.
Oh, you guys really need to hit us, find out what Biden can do if Congress won't act?
Legal Seafoods. Go to Legal Seafoods.
Unbelievable.
Love Legal Seafoods.
Beat up Lovett. That's what you should do in Boston.
Hi, I'm
the Common. The Common is beautiful. We got a beautiful Common.
Can you stop making fun of an avatar of our listener? Thank you.
You're welcome. Love y'all.
Tommy defended all of you guys.
Jesus.
To Lovett.
I got your back.
Lovett, we have a question for you from Amber. You have to pick.
Mm-hmm.
High speed rail or daylight savings?
This is easy. High speed rail. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Of course, high speed rail. We need high speed rail. It's time. All right. And you know what? Would I like high speed rail to travel through a country that doesn't needlessly switch its clocks for no reason twice a year? Of course I would. Mm-hmm. Of course I would. But I take the trains.
What route are we looking for? What's the
first
go-to?
I want, you know what I want? I want Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Sure.
It has 10 times the people of Barcelona, Madrid, and they built it.
They did it with
siestas, with environmental rules, with labor protections. They built it. Why can't we? Meanwhile, Jerry Brown tries to get the fucking train built. Gavin Newsom comes in and he's like, we don't need a train from San Francisco to Los Angeles. We need a train from Bakersfield to Merced.
Cars are made of jamon.
I just saw Slack come in from our fearless head producer, mm-hmm. Andy. She said, shocked that he picked high-speed rail. Andy, you shocked Andy.
You know what? I'm a clown to you people. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I'm a clown. Wait. I'm a fool.
Was there some other intention?
Yeah, I suppose. It's hard to remember now.
A fast train is pretty cool.
We need these trains.
Lauren asks, who on the team are keto and who are normal?
I am not down with this keto nonsense.
I've sort of been experimenting with a little less keto lately. I don't know if it's worked so well.
Here's the thing. You know, I don't know if I'm keto with exceptions. Or just a person who eats whatever he wants.
Keto curious.
I'm getting that.
I'm sort of just fewer carbs, I would say.
I'm not strict keto at all.
I had Taco Bell last night after the show. Mm-hmm. Mexican pizza. It's back. It's better than ever. What a delight. I mean, try to cut these carbs, you know? We're in Hollywood.
My first boss back on the John Edwards for President campaign in 2004, wonderful man David Ginsburg, would send me to Wendy's to buy him multiple burgers, then I'd come back and I'd remove the bun and he would eat it without the bun because he was keto. And I was like, buddy, I just took away the best part. You know, the rest of that shit's going to kill you slowly.
That's why I wasn't keto at the time.
We lost a lot of weight. It was Atkins.
Is very, yeah.
Is that different?
It was pre-keto. Is it different?
It sounds like a rebrand.
It's like when ecstasy became Molly. Let's face it.
Sean Patrick Maloney will tell you about that.
Yeah. Yep.
He bragged about doing Molly on Morning Joe. Just that's something that happened.
Yeah,
second part of that question from Lauren. What's the funniest thing Charlie did in the past month? Molly. Charlie was in this office yesterday.
Wait, if this is a Flintstones chewable,
Charlie was in this office yesterday, sitting in Lovett's seat, and the two of us did an entire interview about trucks, and he really carried on. And then he now knows the name of this podcast. He says Podmerica.
Nice.
Podmerica.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's
He's got quite the retention.
He does have quite the retention. We went home last night. Emily said, who did you see at the office that you know? He said Tommy, and then she said, "Who else did you see?" John Lovett. He says your whole name now.
I like that.
And then he talked about how he gave Pundit a treat. He was very excited to give Pundit a dog treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the second Charlie was out of eyeline, I took the treat away. It wasn't time for a treat. Cool. I mean, Charlie doesn't know. That's not his fault. But I took it right away.
What the fuck are you doing, kid? All right.
I really did.
Here's a question that Lovett demanded we pick last minute, but was too lazy to find the tweet on his own. What does Lovett think about Elon Musk's Elden build?
Why has it got so many shields? What's he doing with all those shields? And I don't know about a Dex.
Pause. It's like a foreign language. What are these things?
Yeah, I don't know anything about this.
Elden Ring is a new game from Software, which is a famously difficult, challenging world type of game.
Okay.
In it, you can build a character that can be strong or dexterous or use faith or use magic. Elon has built a character that is primarily intelligence-based, that's magic, but has a little bit of dexterity so that he can use a weapon like a katana, for example.
Just sort of an annoying troll.
Katana to me like I'm experienced right,
you're
with
like
katana.
A sword.
It's a fast-moving curved sword.
Sure.
A famous for a dexterity build, but his inventory had two shields. What are you doing, Elon? You don't need two shields. You don't need two shields to make you heavy. Now you're gonna heavy roll.
Deflecting bots.
You don't want a heavy roll. Get yourself down to a light roll, my friend. All right.
Mac and Molly.
Light roll.
Listen, Elon, I know there's some context where you like to heavy roll.
Yeah,
but this is a place where you want to light roll, my friend.
I know what those 5 a.m. tweets are about, pal.
Okay. We also got a few fun summer-related questions from a listener who goes by Tommy Vitor. Tommy?
Yeah, I mean, just feels like we got some summer vibes.
That was
the goal we were going for in this mailbag.
Summer vibes.
Achieved.
You guys got a favorite summer blockbuster?
I
really want to see Top Gun 2.
So this is like of all time though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly because for the Scientology.
I can't figure out which is my favorite summer blockbuster from growing up. Either Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Or Independence Day.
Correct answer, both.
Okay, good.
Because Jaws is up there. Pick.
Oh yeah, Jaws, yeah.
Do the Right Thing is a good summer movie.
Yep.
Adventureland, Caddyshack.
Do the Right Thing is not a summer blockbuster. It's a summer movie.
Yeah, I guess you're thinking like big budget popcorn action.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was also thinking that were that were released when I was growing up that I can remember.
Yeah, which
Caddyshack
be out there.
Caddyshack doesn't really fit the bill there.
Right, that was an old one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, those are mine.
It's funny. I'm trying to think like what is the best action.
I was so excited to see Jurassic Park. I can remember just going
to the
theater. And, yeah.
The best big budget action movies of all time that I've loved in the theater.
Oh, Armageddon for you, right?
I'm a deep impact man in an Armageddon world, right? The science was better in Deep Impact, although I do not understand and will never understand why Tia Leone decided to go back to be on that beach with her fucking dad. Didn't make any sense. You're going to die so you can have one last hug with this absent father? The world needed you on MSNBC. That was the whole point. The world needed you. And she dies in the ocean. And meanwhile, if she'd just gone uphill with Elijah Wood, she'd have been fine.
I don't remember this movie.
I don't either at all.
Neither do I.
Is it good?
I mean, yeah. It's
I barely remember it.
Best month of the summer. June, July, August, September are your options.
Oh, you're throwing September in there. I guess that makes sense.
I'm an August boy. I love August.
I'm going July because I feel like June is still too busy, too many. It doesn't... No one treats it as summer enough yet. I think July is your real total summer month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go June.
You got 4th of July.
Right. No. I go June because I'm an August 31st birthday. And so there's something about August. The month of August will forever make me think summer is about to be over and now I'm going to be back at school. Even having lived in Los Angeles for 5 years where it stays warm all the time. And frankly, it's nicer in September and October and November sometimes than it is earlier in summer because of June gloom. It's a thing we have out here called fog that we whine about when it's 57 or 65 degrees. June, you have the whole summer ahead of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do love June too. It's my birthday month. So.
But if you live your life viewing the times in which there's more good ahead as a reason to judge those moments as good, can anything be good? when okay. everything is limited okay. and everything will run out, no matter what you do.
Therapy boy over here.
They're therapy boys.
Uh-oh. Is it time
we're doing some
for another chapter
do you want
the
me to
story of the therapy boys?
What if, I have an idea. What if we just all did a 10-minute mindfulness meditation and we released it?
It's just Elijah has to wait for 10 minutes to come in for Take Appreciator.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You can deep breathe with us.
Everybody close your eyes.
Any other
stuff? One good thought.
I don't think my other questions were good. If you guys have predictions on who will drop the song of the summer, I'd love to hear it. And then kind of just
that's a tough prediction.
Yeah.
I was thinking that I hope Rihanna finally drops her album.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
I put some money on, get a future
pretty,
on Megan.
That would be the album of the summer, I
Megan Thee Stallion, put a future on her. I bet Bieber will do something stupid. Everyone will like it. John?
I don't know.
Maybe a film score?
Yeah, maybe
film score.
Maybe there'll be a nice film score.
Maybe something Ira Glass releases.
You mean Philip Glass?
I was going for the podcast version.
I'm sure Taylor will re-release 1989 soon. That'll be something.
There we go. Should we do Take Appreciators?
Yeah, let's do it. Folks, we're back with another round of Take Appreciator. Our chief take officer, Elijah Cohn, joining us by video.
Hey guys, rock solid A block. That was really tight.
Stephen A. Cohn, how's it going out there?
One of our better A blocks.
You got big plans for the weekend? You got big holiday plans?
The weekend already happened for everyone just listening.
So. Yeah, your time is
short. But you know, that's risky. I did want to say that it's risky to do a Take Appreciator this far in advance of release. So we'll see how this ages.
We'll see how it goes. Okay. Well, like a fine wine, I'm sure.
All right, so just a reminder for everyone how the game works. I'm going to share some takes with you all. The producers have seen them. John and Tommy have not. They'll react and rate them on a scale of 1 to 4 Politicos, with 4 being the worst. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
We're ready.
Couldn't be.
All right.
Ready.
We'll get started then. We agreed there are a lot of horrible gun control takes out there right now, very trolly and bad, and we agreed that we would avoid them for this segment, but we'll go adjacent to it. So after the Uvalde shooting, Beto O'Rourke interrupted a press conference that Governor Greg Abbott was holding, saying that Abbott wasn't doing enough on gun control. That spawned this piece from the Daily Mail, which has an extremely long title. The title of the piece is, "This isn't time for political stunts, and Texans don't need two-bit washed-up politicians like Beto O'Rourke hijacking their horror for his own selfish political interests." That's just the title.
Oof.
Here's a quote. "This is not a partisan or political moment. This is not about showboating for the cameras, getting follows on Twitter or shares on Instagram," which was clearly Beto's intention. "I know there are many people on social media applauding Beto, but as Dave Chappelle once said, Twitter is not a real place." Guys, who wrote it?
Oh, for the Daily Mail?
Oh,
who writes for the Daily Mail?
Oh my God, I know who it is. I know who it is. It's that fucking shit-eating, it's Piers Morgan.
It is not Piers Morgan.
Fuck. Oh, I thought I had it.
I don't know.
Am I close?
How do you get close to Piers Morgan?
I don't know.
It's a you know,
emotionally close,
oft mocked famous pundit. So you're close in that way.
The Daily Mail.
Oh, I got it. It's Meghan McCain.
It's Meghan McCain. Yes.
Nice, John. That's good.
Ooh, forgot she was writing for the Daily Mail now.
Yeah, man.
Mostly the Daily Mail is just that website with a whole side column of just horribly misogynistic photos and garbage.
Let me just say, yeah, you know, if you want to, Beto O'Rourke is currently running for governor of Texas, and if you want to win the governorship of Texas, definitely the politically shrewd move is to scream about guns in that state. Right? Like Beto's doing it just for his own political fortunes. Like, it's not a popular thing to do. what he did because he fucking believes that he needed to do something.
Even if he is trying to draw attention to the issue because he believes it might be politically advantageous to try to build more support for this issue by showing his anger and his outrage, more power to him. I am so fucking sick of theater critics judging the performance of how politicians decide to engage on issues at a time and when, like, the bigger question is not, like, Beto's tone and where he decides to speak about the fact that kids are getting killed in their classrooms.
What Meghan McCain wants is for everyone to mourn the tragedy and then say nothing about gun control at all because she doesn't believe in gun control. That's what she wants. So that's what she's trying to do by writing this fucking piece. Like, yeah. Give me a fucking break.
Whenever anyone says don't politicize something, what they really mean is maintain the politics as they currently exist because I like them.
That's of course.
Also, Daily Mail. We kicked your ass 200 years ago, so we didn't have to listen to this kind of bullshit opinion.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go write about Boris Johnson.
About Boris Johnson.
Nice.
All right.
Oh, we didn't.
Yeah, I was
going to
say Politico rating.
No, that's the whole game.
Three.
I was going to say three too.
Three. Oh, I'm close to giving that a full playbook. I'm really mad.
I just have a low bar for the source.
Yeah,
I'm giving it a full playbook.
Wow. All right.
Full playbook.
I'm doing it.
Wow.
I'm mad.
He's mad.
All right. Well, Worldos.
Steam coming out of his ears. Uh oh.
Worldos, buckle up. This next one is, like, I can only describe it as delicious.
All right.
It's as much about the author as the take. They are inseparable. So from the Washington Post, a piece titled, Biden Must Stop the Promiscuous Publicizing of U.S. Intelligence. Pause here. That is a note to myself to pause there.
Leave that in.
Leave it in.
Leave it in. No Leave chance. It in. That it's was incredible.
No chance.
That's why I have Leave more pauses after the titles. Sometimes I just go right into it. But again, Biden Must Stop the Promiscuous Publicizing of U.S. intelligence. Okay. This piece starts by pointing out that Biden releasing intelligence on Ukraine did not stop Putin from invading. It also attacks the media for not being more critical of the fact that Ukraine did not fall quickly, even though the U.S. warned that it could if Russia invaded. And here's a quote. It's not just coincidence that the intelligence and communication strategy mistakes in Ukraine echoed errors in Afghanistan. Two major blunders, hardly 6 months apart. Who wrote it?
I think I got this one. I think this was Mark Thiessen.
Not Mark Thiessen.
He's a...
Wait, do we know the publication?
Torture-loving Washington former Bush Post. Speechwriter.
Washington so Post. Guest writer. Yes.
A guest writer.
So it's not Hugh Hewitt.
Yeah, that was my next go-to. That didn't sound like Hugh.
Intelligent. Is it some... Is it Ari Fleischer?
No. He is a former administration official, though. Is it an all-time asshole?
Mike Pompeo?
Nope.
Trump era? Question mark.
Trump era, but also before.
Oh.
Is it a CIA director?
It's John Bolton.
Yes, it's John Bolton. John, wow, good, too, there.
John wow. Bolton. The stash.
That was good.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a full playbook. Just sort of hindsight, totally wrong.
Also, just like look who's talking about intelligence failures, John Bolton.
Yeah, thanks for Iraq.
Look who's talking about intelligence failures. Yeah, that gets like a just because of the gall to talk about mm-hmm. someone else's intelligence failures, and also you're doing it incorrectly. That's three. I'll give that three.
Yeah, I'm at three. I'm still at three.
It did excite. I want to say that one did excite me a lot. See,
I like that one too.
Is that the one that you texted me about last night? You were so excited.
Yeah, and I actually made a meme of my reaction to it that I'll slide to you guys after this. Tweeted.
Nice.
It's like the Vince McMahon meme. This
is someone who loves his work right here.
Yeah, look at that. The passion's radiating.
I love that.
All right. Well, let's get to this last one. See if we can get Love It Up to a full playbook. This one again is also just as much about the authors as the take. So the context for it is that in June, the House January 6th committee will be holding multiple televised hearings on the insurrection. We will, of course, be covering those here at Crooked with some live stream group threads. So go subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss them. YouTube.com/CrookedMedia.
Pause.
Pause, Elijah. Elijah, don't forget your pauses.
Thank you. No, I have it written down. So here's the piece from the Wall Street Journal. It's titled... Ooh. The January 6th committee is weaponizing majority rule.
Oh my God.
Mm.
The piece asserts that the committee is partisan, and it complains about the fact that the committee is subpoenaing some House Republicans. Here's a quote. This attempt to coerce information from members of Congress about their official duties is a dangerous abuse of power, serves no legitimate purpose, and eviscerates constitutional norms. Who wrote it?
So it feels like a House member. Do you know the answer?
Is it the Ed Board?
It's not the Ed Board.
I think it's a House member. And my question is whether or not... So here are the contenders for who wrote this. Kevin McCarthy.
Ooh.
Jim Jordan.
Elise Stefanik.
Mm. No, I don't think so. She's not doing anything highbrow. She's not wasting her time.
Well,
I feel like it's
not someone who's the target of the subpoena.
But the reason it could be Kevin McCarthy
is... It's one of their henchmen to try to get them.
It's two. Yeah, it's a co-written piece, I will say.
Oh! Curveball!
So who are the minority... who are the ranking Republican members?
I said Jimmy Jordan, kind of.
Jim Jordan feels involved.
That's one of them. Jim Jordan is one of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah, we got Jim. So who would do an op-ed with Jim Jordan? What scuzzy fuck? Let's see.
Denny Hastert?
Scuzzy fuck is funny. Jim Jordan and...
It's not Kevin.
It is Kevin. Jim Jordan. And they are both subject of subpoenas.
I would like to say those are the first two I said.
The first thing you said. That just moved me to a full playbook because the gall, the subject of the subpoenas to write. Oh yeah, I'm sure you're an unbiased viewpoint here. You don't want to be subpoenaed.
Yeah, it's like
has
Me Too Gone Too Far by Johnny Depp.
Right. Oh my God.
Wow. That's a full
playbook.
Full playbook.
Also, the Wall Street Journal gets the full playbook for printing
for existing.
That.
Yeah,
it's funny.
What an embarrassment.
The Wall Street Journal editorial page.
Also, coercing information. We're going to ask you a question. Can't you just answer a question about what you were doing on January 6th? Is that riles you up that much?
Well, it's
just going to ask you a question about what you were doing.
It sort of actually admits it. It's a tacit admission, right? Because wouldn't their whole argument be they don't have information because they did nothing wrong?
Subpoena a bunch of Democrats in the House about what they were doing on January 6th. They'll all answer questions. What's wrong with answering a question about what you were doing? What are you trying to hide, Jim Jordan and Kevin McCarthy? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not fans.
All right. Well.
Full playbook.
That's another.
Full playbook.
That is another round of Take Appreciator. Chief Take Officer Elijah Cohn, thank you
Elijah.
For your service.
Thank
as
you so
always.
Much.
The Stephen A. Smith of Crooked Media.
Everyone else, we will talk
the
to you
Skip
again.
Bayless.
We will talk to you again at the New York show on Thursday night. It'll be out as a pod first thing Friday morning, or hopefully if you're in New York, we'll see you at the show.
Come on out.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Pod Save America is a Crooked Media production. The executive producer is Michael Martinez. Our senior producer is Andy Gardner-Bernstein. Our producer is Haley Muse, and Olivia Martinez is our associate producer. It's mixed and edited by Andrew Chadwick. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis sound engineer the show. Thanks to Tanya Sominator, Sandy Gerard, Hallie Kiefer, Ari Schwartz, Andy Taft, and Justine Howe for production support. And to our digital team, Elijah Cohn, Phoebe Bradford, Milo Kim, and Amelia Montooth. Our episodes are uploaded as videos at youtube.com/crookedmedia.